Good morning, church. Would you take a moment just to look around and take it all in? You guys are all like staring forward like it's a ride, like a flight or something. Just kidding. Look around. No, really. Take a moment. Look around. Look around. Don't look at me. Look around. Do you guys remember to wear deodorant, as Pastor John reminded us last week? You guys are elbow to elbow this today, so it's pretty impressive, actually. I think we filled almost every pew in this lower level here, at least. Praise God for that. What opportunity it is for us to worship together, to praise the name of Lord Jesus together. That is a gift. I grew up in a church that's similar to this church. We had three languages as well, but you know, the generations weren't there. For instance, I know you guys love the class system right here. You know, I always say it's one step from the caste system that you have to stay in it, apparently. But I grew up in a church where I was the only one in my class, or one of two or three. So it weren't that many of us. And then there would be gaps, and then the next person, you know, be like 4 or 5 years older or even further up than that. So what blessing it is that God gives us that we have different age groups, different generations in our church. And I was talking with the staff a couple weeks ago. It's interesting because during my onboarding here, I've been trying to understand the context of our church a little bit more. And our church is actually, if you didn't know this, if you're, you know, weren't aware, we're actually heading into our fourth or fifth generation of this church from the establishment of it. Our nursery has been booming. If you aren't aware of that, in a couple months, in 2 months, we're going to actually have a couple of baby dedication services just to be able for us to get to know the parents that are new and that want to give their baby or their children raised into the Lord. And so that will be happening in a couple of weeks. Heidi, who runs the nursery, has been joking with me. I don't like that joke, but she jokes with me a lot. She comes to me and nudges me and go, "You better get your baby in soon or I'll be out of space." And I was thinking, come on, they give like privileges to pastors or people on staff, right? To fast pass this thing. And so as a typical Chinese church with generations, that question's asked very often after you get married. So note to self. But what great joy it is. Scripture talks often about how it is a great, great blessing that a church or a people of God that's able to have the fourth generation, third to fourth generations. Many of the blessings in scriptures are listed in that category. Your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren even, if you get to see them. And this, in the same manner, the cursing is same way. It goes the generations too. And if you look in scripture, sin follows the generations as well. But as Pastor Chris reminded, we are the generation. This is the generation of the world in God's eyes, the current living generation that builds the kingdom of God. So praise God. Amen. So today I was thinking about what to share. On the first Sunday of this combined service, what is it that we are supposed to share to talk to God's people in? Frankly, I hate it when we have these free topic weeks because I don't like it. Because half the work is figuring out what in the world God wants me to speak on. And then the second half of it is to figure out how we're going to speak that. And so it's quite a bit of work for if it's not assigned to me. I always like it when someone else prayerfully considered and then they assign me the passage and I just preach the passage from understanding God's text and having His Holy Spirit guide me during the week. And so I was thinking, what is it that we're supposed to preach to God's people in a service like this? Is it a message on worshiping together or unity? Is it a message on passing down your faith to the next generation? Or is it about a message about building the body of Christ and loving each other? Well, Pastor John preached on worshiping together. Pastor Dan preached on passing down your faith. Pastor Darren preached on assembling together to build and to love. And so I sat on my desk Monday morning thinking to myself, well, we're out of cards. What else do you preach about? It feels like the bottom of the ninth and bases are loaded, right? The three hitters have been gone on base already and I'm the fourth batter up now and it's all on you, kid. And if you know my name, I'm actually named after a baseball player, Casey of Slugville, who actually strikes out at the end. So pray that God will not allow me to strike out today. And instead, we'll have a grand slam together. How's that? And so I thought to myself, what are we supposed to pray or preach about? I want to build off of the sermons that were preached in the last couple of weeks. And we keep talking about worshiping together or to love one another or to do these things together. But in my human eyes, I keep thinking to myself, that is really, really hard. I look around the room. There are people that are different than I am. You look around a room, there are people that are really old in the room. Others, you look at, oh, these little kids, they keep running everywhere and they're tripping me up, and I barely can see the steps, and there's a kid running in front of me now. There's discontent, there's differences, there are challenges. For some of us, it might be a language challenge. For others, it might be a preference challenge. As you'll see in a little bit, we'll ask you to commit to serving or be interested in serving in the service, because we want to see the platform reflect the congregation. Right? This isn't an old boys show up here, you know, where the pastors run the thing and you guys just kind of come every week for a sideshow. But it's worshiping together. It's an active duty. These aren't bench warmers that you're sitting in, but you're on the front lines of worshiping God with us. And so I thought, you know, what is it that we're supposed to preach on? You know, are we supposed to talk about how to get, you know, used to each other, or the importance of love, or the generations, or what is it that we're supposed to be preaching upon as we begin this service? If we want to love or have unity or have intergenerational faith or any of that for that matter, what is it that we need? Recently, a friend of mine asked me a few times. I have a lot of family members that aren't believers, and so for me to be a pastor, it's like interesting for them. It's like, huh? Like, well, why don't you do that? You know? And it's like walking in the room, it's like apologetics already, because they're like, defense up, like, he's in the room, here we go. I'm just here to have dinner, you know, I'm here to have whatever. But they've asked me recently, what is the meaning, or what is pastoral ministry? Now, that's a whale of a question, because where do you start? We're kind of the event planner at times. We are in-house cooks at times, too, to make food. Other times, with the janitorial staff, we clean up the chairs. Other times, we sit in board meetings, so it's kind of a meeting context. Other times, you're kind of the CEO, because you're trying to cast vision. Other times, you're the finance person, because you're trying to figure out your budget for the year or something like that. So what is it that pastors do? And a friend of mine said it best, and I like the definition that they give. He tells me, or he says that pastoral ministry is walking with people in life to the edge of eternity and seeing them off. Pastoral ministry is walking with people in life to the edge of eternity and seeing them off. You see, the pastorate is a high calling, but I count it as a blessing. It's a true joy and a gift from God that he has given to me, because I get to walk with you in life to the edge of eternity and see you off. You know, we often talk about, you know, you marry and you bury and you can cradle the grave, and, you know, all this idea that we get to live life with people through the generation, through their lifetime, hopefully walking them to the end and seeing them off to heaven and say, see you later, I'll meet you up there. What a gift. So I thought to myself, well, that's what pastoral ministry is about, and we're beginning this service. Well, there's got to be something I got to talk about that has meaning, that matters, that has eternal value, that does not expire with the days of the earth here, but carries you further than that. I'm borrowing the Apostle Peter's language from 1 Peter, because he says there, he describes a few things with these terms: imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. There is something that I have to equip you with as we begin to love each other that will do a work within us that extends beyond this earthly realm into the heavenly realm. That when you live into the Christian life, you're not only living in a worldly way, and each week I hope you're not coming here expecting me to give you a tidbit to go off to your work week and your home week or your school week to do something with it that's helpful, and that's it. To get you through the week, or to challenge you in some way, or whatever that may be. But the task that I have every single week, and along with my pastors and our friends here, our pastoral staff, we teach from this pulpit every single week to equip you for something that is greater than just this earth. Something that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. So what is that that Peter talks about? In today's passage, Peter calls us to love one another, and that is the call I have for you today. FCBC family, love one another. FCBC family, love one another. And for some of us in here, you say, I love people around me, but I don't really like them though. You see, you've distinguished the two. You've decided that there's a distinctive between the two things. But the command of Scripture is that we are to love one another, and that is my command for you today. Love one another. So if we're to love one another, what is it that we need in us that we're to love one another? Here's my only one point for my sermon today. It is this. It is only by the seed of the Word of God within us that we will be able to have the fruit of love for each other. It is only by the seed of the Word of God within us that we can have the fruit of love for each other. The seed of the Word produces the fruit of love. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let us turn there together. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter's going to give us some justifications or some reasonings before he tells us to love one another. Hear the word of God in verse 22 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. If you're looking up on the screen, it's not going to be up on the screen today. So you might need to thumb your Bible open or turn your devices on. I love the sound of rustling pages, you know, that goes open in the sanctuary, or the soft glow upon your face. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, the word of God reads, "Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth, so that you show sincere brotherly love for each other, from a pure heart, love one another constantly, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." You see, Peter reminds us in this chapter, he's telling the people that, look, there are two conditions in which you are to love each other. And it's the since and because clause of this section. He says this, first he says, since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth. Right, that's the first clause, first reasoning. And the second reasoning is in verse 23. He says, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So Peter paints for us two things. One is you must be born again. And secondly, you must be purified. You must be born again and you must be purified. Now he lists that in a different order. So we're going to attack the second one first, which is in 23. He says, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Remember, the point is this. The only way that we're going to have the fruit of love is by the seed of the word that is planted within us. It is only by the seed of the word within us that we have the fruit of love for each other. So Peter calls us to love one another because we have been born again. That's what verse 23 says. He says, we have been born again by what? Not an imperishable, or not a perishable seed, but an imperishable one. What does that mean? I know some of us in this congregation are farmers or like to plant things. Now, I presume I'm not a farmer, nor do I have a really good green thumb. I could keep things alive for a while, and then the Lord's curse is upon them, so they kind of go, and so I have to curse them like the fig tree, and they must go too. And when you plant a seed into the ground, or I've done this a few times, so plant a corn kernel or an apple seed or an avocado or whatever. You plant something into the ground. The expectation is what you're going to have from the fruit is the same thing that's been planted in the ground, no? Right, you plant an apple seed, you're not expecting an orange tree to come out of there, right? Because if you are, then you'll be sorely disappointed. So Peter says something. He uses this analogy that we have been born again by a seed that is not perishable, and an imperishable seed. What is he saying? Cain and Abel in the beginnings of the Bible, Genesis, old translations often talk about that they were the seed of Adam and Eve. In other words, their genealogy is the same. Their bloodline is the same. Now, I have a sister that's younger than me, and I have a father and mother that I lived with growing up. And the one comment that I get a lot when people see me is they go, "You look just like Philip," which is my dad, right? And so I often respond with, "I think I got a little more hair and better looking," but don't tell him that. He doesn't go to church, so I'm okay. But he does listen to podcasts, so sorry, Dad. So the idea is that the seed in which we are planted with, right, is what the produced fruit would look like. In other words, you and I have been born again, and what Peter is saying is that you and I share the same seed. That even though you come from a different last name, that even though you come from a different heritage or culture, that even though you come from a different background, socioeconomic, otherwise, you and I have been born of the same seed. That you and I are family. There's no surprise then in the New Testament, Paul calls them brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you and I are of the same heritage, of the same family tree, if you will, no pun intended, that we share the same seed. Now, this seed is imperishable, as he says. Now, how is the seed given to us? He says this, end of verse 23, through the living and enduring word of God. Through the living and enduring word of God. Look at how Peter describes this imperishable nature of the seed, that it is living and enduring. Now, in this chapter, or chapter one, I love this chapter of 1 Peter because he uses that descriptor imperishable several times. And he uses it intentionally. The first one is in verse 4 of chapter 1. Verse 4 of chapter 1, he says this, and into an inheritance that is, let's start from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You see, the first imperishable thing that Peter talks about is the inheritance in which we receive from Jesus. That if we're born again, if we are given new birth, as he says, by the great mercy of God, we've been given this living hope that within us. This hope is a resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That death is not the end. That death is not the last word. Death does not have a final say in this equation because our inheritance we're given is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. What is the second thing he says is imperishable? This one's a little more subtle in verse 7. Okay, verse 7. Let's start at 6. He says, you rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials. Here it is. So that the proven character of your faith, what is it? More valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the first thing he says is the inheritance in which we have, and the second thing is the character of the faith in which we have. He's saying that our faith is so valuable, even more valuable than gold. You know, we often use the phrase, this is a gold standard for something, right? Because we expect that gold is the highest value of the natural gems out there or the natural minerals out there. And what is he saying is that with gold, it's perishable, yet we refine it by fire to make it even more pure. Why would we not, with our faith that is imperishable, that lasts for eternity, should we not refine it as well? So the first one is the inheritance we have that's imperishable. The second is the imperishable faith in which we have that we refine. And the third one is the blood of Jesus Christ, the surpassing value and worth of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is in verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 reads, for you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. He's saying that, look, you've been redeemed not by a vain type of living that your fathers have handed down to you that the world tells you you need to have. But he says the thing that has been handed down to you is this. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We just remember that today and we just celebrate that today through the Lord's Supper. That we sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Or we sing, whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owed. Right? Though my sin was as crimson red, he washed it white as snow. You see, the precious blood of Christ is imperishable. He says, look, the things that are handed down to you, it's not just silver or gold, not any of that. That's perishable. Those things fade. But the thing that has been given to you is the precious blood of Christ, like an unblemished and spotless lamb. Now, the last one is in the section that we're in today. He says the last thing is the seed that has been planted within us, not perishable seed, but an imperishable one. So church, love one another because we have been born again by the seed of the word. The seed is planted within us, that the word of God comes to us and tells us of the great and awesome news that Jesus Christ, though was God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself humbled into the form of a servant, of a man, and died upon a cross, took upon your shame and my shame, our sins together, and nailed it upon that cross with himself. That God found favor in him and rose him from the dead, thus paying the price of our sins, that we are clothed not with our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, notice that this is the word of the gospel that is given to us as imperishable things, because he says that in verse 24 and onward. He says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever." And he says this, "And this word is the gospel that was proclaimed to you." That this word was the gospel that was proclaimed to you. So the first point, church, love one another because we have been born again. Second point is this, love one another because we've been purified to do so. Love one another because we have been purified to do so. As promised, we're going back to verse 22. He says this, "Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth, so that you show sincere brotherly love for each other, from a pure heart, love one another constantly." Love one another constantly. Some translations, love one another fervently. But how is the manner in which to love each other? He says that we are to love each other with a brotherly love, a sincere brotherly love from a pure heart. How are we to love each other? With a pure heart, with a sincere brotherly love, a genuine care for each other. That when someone's sick, you're not calling them because you want the latest gossip, but you actually care for them. That when someone is not doing well, you want to walk with them, even though it's hard on you and it's an inconvenience to your schedule. That even though things are challenging in your own life, you decide to extend a hand to someone else that may be fighting the same challenge as you are. Or you've walked the path just ahead of them and you've made it through the valleys and you're in the mountains now and you want to share that with that person next to you. You genuinely, sincerely love each other from pure. How are we to do that? Verse 22 again. "Since you have been purified yourself by your obedience to the truth." Notice this is saying that it's not by obeying the truth to love one another, which is a command from the scriptures anyways. But he's saying that when you obey the truth, the word of God, you're being purified. Romans 12, 1-2 says it this way, is that he says that our minds are being renewed and transformed day by day, that we will not conform to the ways of this world, or patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may be able to test and approve the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God. You see, when we are able to have the word of God within us, it transforms our lives, that even though you and I are different, and even though it's awkward, that even though it's challenging, we're reminded that not only are we born again by the seed of the word, but we are purified by that same truth. First point, love one another because you've been born again. Secondly, love one another because you've been purified to do so. And I was thinking, what is it that Paul's tying into the Isaiah quote? In your scriptures, if you're holding a Bible, print a copy for one does this, it's either bolded or it's in all caps. It says in verse 24, "For all flesh is like grass and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever." You see, if we're to love one another, church, it's going to cost us something. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But Peter says here that, look, the reason it's hard and the reason it's challenging is because there are two things he lists in verse 24, because we look to our flesh and to our own glory. You see, when you have no benefit from it or when you have no gain from it, it's hard to do. Because for most of us, we calculate. Well, let's see, if I give him this today, when I'm in a hard time, maybe he'll give that back to me. No, that person's real stingy. I'm not going to care for him because he'll never return the favor. You see, if you're holding something behind your back when you're making a deal with someone or when you're doing something for someone, you're expecting something back in return. But see, Peter is saying here in verse 24 that even though the flesh is like grass and the glory like the flower of the grass, in other words, the time you have here is limited. That your flesh, this stuff here, it will fade. It will wither as like the grass in the field, and the glory that you seek for yourself will fall. You see, if we're to love each other from a purified heart, we're able to love each other even though it's hard. You're willing to endure with meekness even though it's hard. You're willing to love one another even though it's hard. You're able to renounce boasting in yourself or calling attention to yourself but giving attention to others. You're able to consider others greater than yourself. You're able to not look to your own interests but to the interests of each other. That we're able to cover a multitude of sins with love and with forgiveness and not with a list of grievances. But you see, if we're to love each other fervently or earnestly or constantly, as the text says, it will cost us a price. It will cost your flesh and it will cost your glory. But you see, take heart, church, because Peter says all flesh is like grass and all glory like flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever. In other words, your flesh and your glory, it's perishable. It's defiled and it's fading. But he says the word of God, however, is imperishable. It lasts forever. That the training that we're in, that each week that you come into the word of God, that each morning you open up the word of God, that each day you look to the text of scripture, do not look as a textbook of your life or an instruction manual, because you see the unfading and imperishable word of God, it doesn't need to be mastered by you. It wants to master you. You see, you don't need to be brilliant in your study of scripture. Because the most brilliant ones will admit that they don't know scripture well, but the scriptures know them well. That when you go through a hard time, then when you're in the midst of sin and lust, that you're in the challenging moments of your day, the Spirit of God is able to bring the Word of God into your heart, and you're reminded of what His promises are, of what His truth is to you, that imperishable seed that is planted within us. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. See, church, as we begin this service together, there are going to be times that it's going to be hard and challenging. But may I remind you once again that it is only by the seed of the Word of God within us that we can have the fruit of love for each other. Amen? We're going to take a moment to pray together. I know some of you guys are nervous looking at the clock. And he hit 12 already. I'm going to get up. Just hold on for a sec, okay? I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward with a piece of paper. It's a half sheet that they're going to hand out to you. The half sheet is asking you of interests of serving in our worship ministry, okay, through the worship services. It's only an interest, okay, an expression of interest. You're not signing your name on a dotted line for anything. You're not held here for the next 50 years or anything like that. But it's just asking you for interest. There's some areas of go ahead and come forward, ushers. There's some areas on there that are exploratory, that are kind of new, that we've not quite done before, or some things that only happen occasionally. And there are other things that are more regular and ask for a longer or more regular commitment. But it's just to ask you to express the interest of doing it, okay? Since we're starting a new service, again, we want people involved in it together. The best way to see discipleship happen is in context where we serve together. Where we walk life together, when you face challenges together, you'll get it. I'm going to throw up here. It's also, if you're more tech savvy, you're able to text this number with the word serve. The youth thinking, what? They know that up here? Yeah, we do. All right. We got it. We're catching up. So 40 years back, but we're catching there. So that would send you a digital link to that form as well. The encouragement is this. Now, if you're serving in a particular area, for instance, if you've sung faithfully in choir or in worship team or a song team or a moderator or any of that, if you're already doing that, no need to check that box because that means you're doing it already. All right? You're not interested in that category necessarily. But if you're not serving in any of these contexts or you're serving in some of these contexts, but you're interested in something else, feel free to just check that box. Again, it's just an interest form so that we send it to these to the ministry heads that they have a pool of people to ask or to engage you in your interest of serving together here at church. Okay? Again, if you want the digital form, it's up there. If not, you can do the paper form. But before you fill it out, let's take a moment to pray together. Okay? Because this is not just like, you know, ordering something off a menu here. Okay, let's pray.